news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A new single-day record of COVID deaths in the U.S. were reported on Thursday, 3,110. That broke the previous day's record of 3,102 deaths. There were 229,928 new cases reported on Thursday alone, also a new record. And as of Friday morning, 292,954 people have already died in the United States of COVID-19. America just went over 16 million diagnosed cases. You know what that makes us.
We're number one, damn it!
Yeah. But an FDA advisory committee has recommended that the agency grant a long-awaited emergency use authorization for the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine. The FDA still has to actually grant the authorization before they start shipping and distributing the vaccines to states. Plus, a CDC committee also needs to recommend the vaccine, and the CDC would need to accept the recommendation before any shots can be administered. That advisory committee meets Friday and should vote over the weekend. The whole process will then likely be repeated soon for the Moderna vaccine. But vaccinations in the U.S. could start within days. Unfortunately, Congress seems to be getting nowhere in negotiations for another COVID relief bill. They seem to be stuck on two issues. Democrats want $160 billion in funds for state and local governments, who are really hurting thanks to the pandemic and a lot of lost revenue. And Republicans want liability protections for businesses and other organizations. Senator Bernie Sanders, who caucuses with the Democrats, teamed up with Republican Josh Hawley and introduced a proposal that would provide a second round of $1,200 checks, identical to what was distributed via the CARES Act, which passed in March. The other major story, which should not be a story at all, but is because we have somebody attempting a coup in D.C., 18 state attorneys general and 106 House Republicans are backing a frivolous Texas lawsuit asking the Supreme Court to overturn the results of the election in four different states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia. Officials from all four of those states have pushed back, with Pennsylvania officials calling it a, quote, seditious abuse of the judicial process. The fact is, there has been zero evidence of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. And all states, every single one, has already certified their election results. Thankfully, there are some Republicans who oppose the gambit. They're invoking Republican principles about protecting states' rights, saying that states should not interfere with other states' elections. But the fact that there are 106 members of Congress supporting a coup to overturn the will of the people is stunning. And those 106 probably should not be seated when the 117th Congress is sworn in on January 3rd. In fact, we should know their names. Obviously, a list of 106 names is long, so we'll use the magic of technology to get through it a bit faster. Here they are. Mike Johnson of Louisiana, Gary Palmer of Alabama, Steve Scalise of Louisiana, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Ralph Abraham of Louisiana, Rick Allen of Georgia, James Baird of Indiana, Jim Banks of Indiana, Jack Bergman of Michigan, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Gus Milarekis of Florida, Dan Bishop of North Carolina, Mike Boast of Illinois, Kevin Brady of Texas, Mo Brooks of Alabama, Ken Buck of Colorado, Ted Budd of North Carolina, Tim Burchett of Tennessee, Michael Burgess of Texas, Bradley Byrne of Alabama, Ken Calvert of California, Earl Carter of Georgia, Ben Klein of Virginia, Michael Cloud of Texas, Mike Conway of Texas, Rick Crawford of Arkansas, Dan Crenshaw of Texas, Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, Jeff Duncan of South Carolina, Neil Dunn of Florida, Tom Emmer of Minnesota, Ron Estes of Kansas, Drew Ferguson of Georgia, Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee, Bill Flores of Texas, Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska, Virginia Fox of North Carolina, Russ Fulcher of Idaho, Matt Gates of Florida, Greg Gianforte of Montana, Bob Gibbs of Ohio, Louis Gomer of Texas, Lance Gooden of Texas, Sam Graves of Missouri, Mark Green of Tennessee, Michael Guest of Mississippi, Andy Harris of Maryland, Vicky Hartzler of Missouri, Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Clay Higgins of Louisiana, Trey Hollingsworth of Indiana, Richard Hudson of North Carolina, Bill Huizinga of Michigan, Bill Johnson of Ohio, John Joyce of Pennsylvania, Fred Keller of Pennsylvania, Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania, Trent Kelly of Mississippi, Steve King of Iowa, David Kustoff of Tennessee, Darren LaHood of Illinois, Doug LaMalfa of California, Doug Lamborn of Colorado, Robert Latta of Ohio.
Phew. And as of Friday morning, it's still not clear whether or not the Supreme Court will act on this lawsuit. Meanwhile, those four battleground states whose presidential election results Texas is asking to reverse urged the Supreme Court not to consider it. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia have all certified President-elect Joe Biden's defeat of Donald Trump, entitling Biden to their electoral votes. In harsh briefs issued on Thursday, they called the Texas challenge seditious and warned the justices that granting this unprecedented request would, quote, do violence to the Constitution and disenfranchise millions of voters. Also on Thursday, Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine filed a separate brief defending the swing states on behalf of the nation's capital and 22 states and territories. These responses came a day after Donald Trump himself vowed to, quote, intervene in support of the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's ridiculous bid to overturn the outcome of the election. And Donald Trump gets more despicable with each day leading up to his ouster. Thursday night, the U.S. government put to death Brandon Bernard, a federal prisoner convicted of murder for his part in a gang killing of a couple in 1999. Bernard was the youngest person in the U.S. to receive a death sentence in nearly 70 years for a crime committed when he was an adolescent. And his execution is the ninth to be carried out since Attorney General William Barr restarted federal executions after a 17-year hiatus. The case garnered lots of attention from activists who argued against the execution because Bernard was a teenager at the time of the murder and was not the person who actually shot and killed the victims. Unfortunately, the government proceeded despite high-profile opposition from five of the nine surviving jurors who sentenced Bernard to death, from the prosecutor who defended his death sentence on appeal, from several members of Congress, 23 current and former prosecutors, and even Kim Kardashian West. Just sickening. So Time magazine on Thursday named the 2020 Person of the Year. Although Donald Trump and others mistakenly think it's some sort of award, the person of the year is someone who affected the news or our lives the most, for better or worse. The announcement, though, came from Bruce Springsteen.
Good evening. The events of 2020 have changed us in ways that were unthinkable until this year. A once-in-a-generation health crisis has rocked our lives while also demonstrating the resilience of the human spirit. A rallying cry for justice and equality has rung out around the world. And across the nation, a record number of Americans made their voice heard, making history along the way. For nearly 100 years, Time has named the Person of the Year. In 2020, the Time Person of the Year is President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris.
The other finalists were Trump, the Movement for Racial Justice, and a combination of frontline health workers and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who Time magazine did name Time's Guardian of the Year. On Thursday night, the first candles were lit on menorahs around the world. Hanukkah has begun.
So drink your gin and tonic and smoke your marijuana.